Center for the Study and Teaching of Writing at The Ohio State University. This is Writer's Talk. I'm Doug Dangler. At the Center for the Study and Teaching of Writing, aka CSDW, we have many partners, such as WCRS, the fine station you're tuned to right now. Also, every year, members of the CSDW Writing Minor, all of them OSU students, work with the Community Relations Commission of the City of Columbus to help write the script for the Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration. This year's show is Celebrate the Legacy, A Voice in the Crowd. Free tickets and information about this January 18th show are available at columbus.gov. I talked to the producer and director of the show, Dan Willis, about it and how he worked with Ohio State students in the writing minor to write it.
Well, we have Ashley McAtee.
My major was creative and professional writing, and I am graduating this quarter, so this is it.
I bet you're feeling good about that.
I am.
Next to Ashley, we have Lindsay Johnson. Lindsay, tell me something about you.
I actually graduated this past summer in August, and my major was English, and I also had a minor in professional writing, which led me to writing for the MLK script team.
Great, great. So you did it for free for us.
Yes, sir. With pleasure.
Next to Lindsay, we have Julie Brown. Julie, tell us about you.
I'm a communications analysis and practice major, and I, as well, am in the minor for professional writing. I'm actually a senior, and I'll be graduating next quarter, so it's getting very close.
Fantastic. Well, I thought before we get into why you like to write and why you like this project and the things that you learn from it, maybe if we explain a little bit to the audience about what you're writing for, first of all. I've been pleased to be able to work with Mayor Coleman for the last 11 years in developing the Martin Luther King Celebration, where we talk about the legacy of Dr. King and the timelessness of his legacy. Even though it's been over 40 years since he walked this planet, the legacy is still very much alive. And in order for us to build a good, strong community, we need to have some type of direction on how to do that. So in the program that we have, Celebrate the Legacy, A Voice in the Crowd, that's this year's theme, we talk about Dr. King's legacy in speeches and in sermons that are seldom heard. Everyone hears the I Have the Dream speech, but he was a very prolific writer. And what we did this year is we went into some other speeches that he had done to give people more of an idea of what Dr. King was about. The event itself is January 18th. It's a live program. We do it at Veterans Memorial at 300 West Broad Street. Admission is free. Did I say admission is free? Admission is free at Vets Memorial. Before that, at 4 o'clock, we have a commemorative march across the Broad Street Bridge, which commemorates Dr. King walking across the Edmund Pettus Bridge for voting rights. So if you'd like to join us for that, come down to the City Hall parking garage at 4 o'clock. There's hot chocolate, there's cookies and live music there, so you get a chance to enjoy that. If you have a banner that you'd like to bring for your organization or for your job, please bring that too, and that can be part of the march. After the march begins, it starts at 4:45, it goes across Broad Street, ends up at Veterans Memorial. And then the program itself begins live at 6 o'clock inside Veterans Memorial. Tickets are available by calling area code 614-645-1933. That's 614-645-1993. That's the Office of Community Relations as part of the City of Columbus. And you'll be able to get tickets as we get into January. The tickets aren't quite ready yet, but they will be ready in January. If you don't want to get the tickets beforehand, you can get tickets at the door beginning at 2 o'clock on January 18th at Vets Memorial. They are free. So then the program begins at 6 o'clock. But again, just before that, we have the winner of the MLK Oratorical Society, the student who's won that, give his or her speech. We don't know who's won yet, but that person will be able to give that speech. We start live at 6 o'clock. We run for an hour. We have live and original music out of the orchestra pit. We have 150 children's choir. It's what we call an edutainment experience. You get a little education, you get a little entertainment, you get ballet met, you get soloists. It's a very good family-focused program. And that's why I'm so pleased to be able to have these great writers. I'm very fortunate to say that this is my fifth year working with the College of Humanities on this internship. And every year it gets better and better and better. So we're really pleased to have you.
That really says everything for the writing minor, don't you think, Dan?
It really does.
We're working so well with these script writing teams. Not that I'm biased.
Well, of course, I had to get the business out of the way.
Right, yeah, I know. I'm here for a reason. It's to help out in such moments.
Who writes my check? The mayor.
All right.
Thank so now we got the business out of the way. We can talk about the concept. One of the things I'm challenged to every year is to come up with a concept for the show. And this year what happened was in March, the Columbus Dispatch had a picture of the Selma to Montgomery, Alabama March of Dr. King. This is for voting rights in 1965. The photographer is James Corrales. He was one of the famous photographers for Look magazine. Look and Life magazine were the magazines years ago. And he took this as people were marching, fighting for rights. Well, when I saw the crowd of people, I thought to myself, wow, that's how we are. It's a group of diverse people of different ages. There's young people, all kinds of, and people are walking toward hope. So we combined that with Robert Frost's poem, The Road Not Taken. And the last part of The Road Not Taken was, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. And I thought to myself, Dr. King always took the other road. He never took the straight and narrow. So between the picture and Robert Frost's poem, we came up with a concept for this year's show, A Voice in the Crowd. So what I'd like to find out is, before we get into more of what you wrote, what draws you into writing, Julie?
I've always liked writing. And I think what I've always liked about writing is just that the way that you put words together can just evoke some sort of emotion. You can make someone sad, you can make someone scared, you can educate someone. And so just the whole idea that, you know, everyone speaks, everyone knows how to put words together, but if you do it in a certain way, you can get a certain emotion out of someone, which I've always liked.
Lindsay.
In addition to evoking emotions, I think that it gives every writer a chance to have their voice heard. And a lot of ideas that we might have as a person, we don't get to, you know, get out there and let others know our good ideas. And writing is a chance to just spread the word.
I think writing is so important also. It's such an important part of our society and our communities. The storytelling aspect of it is really important to me. And I really just love language on a word-to-word level, putting words together to make art.
It seems that your writing kind of opens up the creativity in people that they may not even know that they have. Mm-hmm. I'll just ask everyone, is there any particular type of writing that you find does that the best in terms of opening up that creativity and taking that person to another place?
Well, personally, I like poetry because I think that each word has so much importance. And on top of that, anyone can read another person's poem and get something personal from it. It may not necessarily be what that person meant to say with that poem, but it gets a personal emotion out of every reader. So I love poetry. That's my favorite.
What are the rest of you drawn to?
Well, script writing is new for me, but just from this experience, I really enjoyed it. I feel like it really taps into that emotion that I was just talking about. And I just learned a lot about how the way you put words together, you can really just make someone feel something. And I think that's what I've always liked the best about writing. And with script writing, there's really no boundaries with that. So I really enjoyed it, this experience.
Aside from script writing, which I really like too, I am extremely interested in creative nonfiction because I feel like it takes people in a direction that they wouldn't have normally gone. You can read, you know, an essay about, you know, over-the-road truckers and be exposed to a completely new world that you never really thought you would even care about. But a good writer can bring you into that world and invest you.
What kind of pulls you into writing? You know, what drew you into this particular project, this internship? I know I was on a panel and you were all in the audience, but besides my wonderful talk, what made you want to be a part of this internship?
I really liked how it was very conceptual. I like things where you think outside the box, and I like challenges. I've always liked to write speeches and have an audience where people are listening to what I'm saying or what I'm writing. And I think that this fulfilled all that. I like how what you say can actually affect an audience and you feel like what you're writing for an actual purpose. And I think that that's great.
How is script writing different than poetry, Lindsay?
Well, one thing that I got to do with my piece is add poetry in script writing so that can be inclusive. And it basically can take any kind or any form of creative writing and, you know, include it. So I think that it takes a lot for a person to think in many different voices or, you know, from different angles and include include those in their writing. So that was difficult. And that's a big difference from poetry. You have to actually think from another person's perspective. So that's a big difference, but I did enjoy it.
We'll return in a minute to our interview with Dan Willis and OSU students in the CSDW writing minor. But first, let me remind you that the Martin Luther King Day celebration will be held next Monday, January 18th, and it will be titled A Voice in the Crowd. Now, let's listen to one of the songs that will be featured at the event, James Taylor's Shed a Little Light.
Oh, let us turn our thoughts today to Martin Luther King. Recognize that there are ties between us, all men and women living on the earth. Ties of hope and love, of sister and brotherhood. That we are bound together in our desire to see the world become a place in which our children can grow free and strong. We are bound together by the task that stands before us and the road that lies ahead. We are bound and we are bound. There is a feeling like the clenching of a fist. There is a hunger in the center of the chest. There is a passage through the darkness and the mist. And though the body sleeps, the heart will never rest.
Shed a little light, oh Lord.
Shed a little light, oh Lord.
So that we can see.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a little light, oh Lord.
Just a little light, oh Lord.
Stand it all up.
Stand it all up, oh Lord.
Stand it all up.
It is a hunger in the center of my chest. Oh, yes. It is a passage through the darkness and the mist. Oh, though the body sleeps, the heart will never rest.
Oh, let us turn our thoughts today to Martin Luther King. And recognize that there are ties between us. All men and women living on the earth, ties of hope and love, sister and brother.
Now we'll go back to our interview with the OSU scriptwriting team for the City of Columbus King Day celebration.
One of the things we talked about was that when you're writing for scripts, it's mm-hmm. like a good speech writer.
Mm-hmm.
And a good speech writer has to be three different people. They have to be the person that they're writing for. They have to represent the audience listening to that person.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to bring to the table the talent and skill that they have in crafting an effective speech. And in some respects, that's what we did this whole quarter of evolving from a flat page into something that was a conversation among people. And one of the parts that was a very important part in the beginning was the research side of it, where we went through and went through volumes and volumes of Dr. King's writings. Ashley, what was your experience in doing the research? Because you did a lot of research in the beginning.
Definitely. Dr. King was an amazing writer, which is something that I think we all sort of know on some level, but until you really get into his work and his words, you don't really realize the level of skill he had. Not only was he a tremendous civil rights leader, he was a writer of his own right. And going through that work, you find so many little things that you'll see he'll do over and over again. He has a certain way of forming a sentence, a certain way of getting across an idea. And he recycles that all the time. So it's something I've learned as a writer. You find something that works, and then you use it again and again and again in a different way to sort of make your writing cohesive and to keep it effective.
Lindsay, how was he able to address different audiences? Because he had his PhD and he was a minister, but people only saw him as a civil rights leader. But in our research, he talked to other groups of people in Europe and, mm-hmm. and in New York and places like that. How did he adapt his writing style to meet the audience?
Well, the beautiful thing about it, and it's quite ironic, that a scriptwriter has to write from different angles. That's the same thing that Martin Luther King did. He didn't just think about himself or his own opinion. He thought on many different, you know, perspectives. And I think that's how he was able to, you know, not only write these wonderful speeches, but he was also able to fight for human rights, not just the rights of a woman, a man, or a child, but everyone's rights.
Even though it was 40 years old, a lot of the research that you guys did for us, how did you find how relevant his words were? Was there anything that in your research that you read that he had written that really applies in 2009?
When I was researching, that was the most I got out of while I was researching. It amazed me how much, if you would just take out little words that he said and replace it with a word that might be more relevant today, that it applies just as much as it did then. And it just shows you how true his words were. And just as far, I had a lot of respect for his writing in the sense that, like we said, he was always talking to different groups of people. And he knew that not everyone always agreed with him, but he just always had a way of just enticing the crowd, trancing the crowd in, and just allowing the crowd to listen, whether you agreed with him or not. And that was something that I really respected about his speeches and what I found fascinating.
You know, a lot of times we refer to the beloved community. And it seems that in your research that everything that he wrote defined what he called the beloved community. So he was able to adjust, it seemed, to whoever he was talking to be able to hook the audience. It's what a scriptwriter does. Hook the audience and then give them the message of the day. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did. Remember when we did research in the beginning, like a lot of times his first two paragraphs were setting the stage of what the issue was at hand. And then he would give you a little bit of a zinger and then give you a little bit, a couple more paragraphs that further explained the concept and then another zinger. And he always ended in challenging the audience to understand the issue and take a place in that issue to make a difference in their world. Was there anything in the American Dream speech, which is one that people don't hear very often, that really kind of made a note with you? You know, because he delivered that at Ebenezer Baptist Church in 1965 in Georgia. Was there anything in that speech or any other speeches that he gave that really resonate how he got through to people well?
I think it was in that speech, and he might have used it in a few others, that he gave the example of going to Jamaica, and he loved to tell stories in his speeches. He loved to say, oh, Mrs. King and I, we were in Jamaica recently, and it's this beautiful island. And then he went on to explain that while he was there, the Jamaicans taught him that even though the Jamaican community is made up of all these different types of people from all over the world, they don't consider each other, you know, Indian, English, all these different races or ethnicities. They consider themselves one big family of Jamaicans. And he was all about bringing that message back with him and spreading that and saying, you know, we're all Americans. We are all humans. We all are equal. And it doesn't matter all these different places that we come from. You're an individual and that's important, but you're also part of a much bigger family and a much bigger community.
Did you find that he often recycled some of his stories too?
Oh, absolutely. And what I really enjoyed that speech just because basically everything he was saying was just, it was very basic, very fundamental values, but just the way he just has a way of bringing everything back to those basics that it's hard to disagree with him. It's hard to even really challenge him. And so, he does those things, like you said, he gets very conversational. He kind of makes himself like a lovable character. So if you're in the audience, you want to listen to him. And then he draws you in with that. And then he just is basically telling you just basic fundamental values. And by the end of that, when he's trying to challenge you, you don't want to disagree with him. You enjoy everything he's saying. You feel empowered. You feel inspired. And you get a lot out of what he's saying.
It sounds like he had the best blend of being a minister and having his PhD. Mm-hmm. So he had the knowledge to be able to really hook you, but then he had the persona of a minister that knew how to really rock a crowd, you know? And that's what I saw a lot, because whenever you look at the old tapes of him, he's in a very commanding position. You know that he knows what he's talking about. You know what his role is there. So after we did the research portion of it, the next thing that we did is we tried to determine which stories would be the best stories, to try and come up with three or four scenes that worked very well for us. How did you find that process of trying to sort through all the volumes of information?
It seems that what you were saying about the Zingers is that Dr. King was constantly tilling the soil. And I think that we had to first start our research off by finding something that would till the soil. And as each scene goes on, we have to realize that his final destination was actually planting that seed, and that seed is his legacy. So I wanted to try to find a speech where, you know, it would soften up the crowd and, like Julie said, draw them in. And I think that just speaking about equality was the best way to open up, because it includes everyone.
For me, part of that process was finding a theme. Part of our overarching concept for this is that Dr. King's legacy is transparent. It applies to everyone, no matter what you look like. So in the show, you're going to see some depictions of Dr. King that are not the traditional Dr. King that you're used to. So for me, it was, what other way can I show this great legacy other than just somebody who fought for a certain group's rights? What else did he do? And I found out that he was a big leader in socioeconomic issues. So I found some of his speeches that dealt more with poverty and homelessness and tied that into the racial issues that he's more famous for. Mm-hmm. So it's really about finding that theme in that story.
I'm curious. I'm the odd person out here in that I didn't work. That didn't work on the script. What's an overview of the script? What can people expect? Tell me the story of this script as it unfolds. Without giving everything away, when they come to see it, what kind of script are they going to see? What kind of actions?
Well, we can't really give it away, even though it is free. We can't give away the storyline. We've worked very hard this quarter. But one of the things that we do is the story that they're going to have this year is a voice in the crowd. Right. We 2/3 of each scene is true to Dr. King's words. Okay. Where we've gone, that's why the research side was so important, that we actually have re-energized his words with his words, and that's what people will hear, other than the I Have a Dream speech, which is eloquent, but he may have a lot of other eloquent speeches too. So that will be one of the main draws, that if you have a family or just want to learn about Dr. King's speeches, you'll hear what he had to say about several issues, homelessness, social justice, peacemaking, we'll talk about that in a minute. And then after that, we have a reaction to Dr. King's speech. That voice in the crowd is a reaction.
So who normally gives that kind of reaction? What kind of...
We have actors from Acting in Columbus who will be acting on stage for us.
And they represent particular characters that came out of the time, or a contemporary reaction to it?
They're peculiar to the time of the speech.
Okay.
We kind of play with time a little bit.
Nice.
To make it relevant.
Okay. So now you're all graduating, or have graduated, have your eye on the prize of graduating. Tell me about what you're going to do with your degrees now. I'm curious about how you look to the future and think, I'm going to use my degree and my minor in professional writing, just say, as a stepping stone to something later on. What are those thoughts in your heads right now?
Well, I would like to continue my education. I'm looking into grad school for creative writing. I would like to pick up a MFA in poetry. But I also want to, you know, go on professionally, maybe into the publishing world. So that's something I'm really interested in.
Well, that's a great question, because I would love to know what I'm doing. But I picture myself doing something in public relations with something nonprofit. And I've had a lot of internships with public relations, and I've just always used my knowledge of the professional writing. That's why I really chose this minor and why it's a great minor for everybody, just because if you like to write, it's definitely a skill that you should embrace. It's something you can use in everything. And I find that a lot of people kind of run away from writing. So if it's something you have a niche for at all, I would definitely choose this minor, because in any internship or any real world experience I've had, I've used it. So even if I'm not going to be a writer, if I do something in public relations, I always use it, and it's really kind of set me apart from other people.
Absolutely. My main goal is more of a creative writing career. I also want to get an MFA eventually, but to get to that point, you have to a lot of times work. And I feel like in the workplace, like you were saying, the skills you learn in professional writing classes are definitely applicable to all types of work.
May I also mention that Lee Mashiter is also on the team, but he's been ill today, so he wasn't here. He was part of the collaborative process for the whole quarter too. And I'd like to say thank you to, number one, your openness at the beginning of the quarter, to a new concept that script writing, you've learned a lot from script writing. I also really appreciate how you learned how the collaborative process does work, that you're what constructive criticism truly is, because all of you worked together on that and listened to it with discerning eye and made it better for everyone. And I really appreciate what you did for that, because what we're going to end up with is a show that you're going to be very proud of, that the people in the city of Columbus are going to become more enlightened by. So I'd like to thank you for that.
I want to thank you as well for being here today on Writer's Talk.
Don't forget, January 18th at Veterans Memorial. If you have more, you want to get questions or have more information, it's area code 614-645-1993 at the Office of Community Relations. We're very proud of what everyone has done. We're proud of the production that Mayor Coleman gives the City of Columbus, our community, that he feels that this is an important project.
You're listening to Writers Talk from The Ohio State University, where the students from the Center for the Study and Teaching of Writing were heavily involved with preparing the script for this year's Martin Luther King Day celebration on January 18th at 6 p.m. at Veterans Memorial. Check out www.columbus.gov for more information. Join us next week when our guest will be Joseph Steinmetz, the Executive Dean of the Colleges of Arts and Sciences at The Ohio State University. He'll talk about his research interest and his interest in writing. Tune in to learn more about how writing is regarded at high levels at The Ohio State University. We're closing with Stevie Wonder's tribute to Martin Luther King titled Happy Birthday. Until next time, this is Doug Dangler saying, keep writing.
Not have a day that would